Quarantine Zone listeners, enjoy this preview of Vault 33, a recap podcast for Amazon Prime's Fallout series, premiering April 11th. Vault 33 is brought to you from the same team behind Quarantine Zone and Violent Delights, the Westworld podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this preview and subscribe to Vault 33 where you subscribe to this podcast. Thanks for listening and joining.
I don't want to set the world on fire.
Welcome to Vault 33, a podcast for Amazon Prime's Fallout. We are your hosts, Andrew Sarcini,
Dwayne D,
and Tosin Unafawakin.
So who are we? We have, the three of us have previously hosted three or four other podcasts. The first one we came together on was a podcast called The Drill Down, which is a tech, weekly tech podcast. We followed that up with a podcast called Violent Delights, which was our Westworld recap podcast. And that's since been defunct, but maybe if they decide to release a fifth season of Westworld or a movie. Yes, we'll be back in it. And then we did a podcast for American Gods called The Dominant Paradigm.
And that was on Stars, yeah.
And Stars, that's right. And we currently have a podcast for The Last of Us on HBO called Quarantine Zone. So if you're tuning in to us for Vault 33 for Fallout, Amazon Prime's Fallout, then also subscribe to Quarantine Zone. That would be nice. But who are we? Like, I am a film editor by trade. Dwayne, what do you do in your off time? Or would you rather not say?
I write research reports about some boring stuff, but it all goes into the way I approach the content that we review. Tosin, what about you?
I'm a product manager for an entertainment company and work on app features to make life easier for people watching shows on, you know, TVs, mobile devices, etc.
Now, exactly. The reason I feel like that the three of us are best suited to give you this coverage of Fallout is because of our previous recap podcasts, Violent Delights, The Dominant Paradigm, and Quarantine Zone. We feel like we have this really special tact for deconstructing and doing a deep dive into the meaning and subtext of these shows rather than just a straight up like a recap. So hopefully we can bring that.
Although we do that for about 2 minutes.
Yeah. We will give
just
you
to catch everybody up with where the plot is. And then we do our deep dive.
Yes. So we'll give you a recap on what happened in the episode. And then we're going to like really drill down into deconstructing the episode. So if you like that, please subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at Fallout Vault 33. That's our Twitter/X handle. Add us on iTunes. Like us. Leave us a review if you like the show. That's how we get noticed. But the best thing you can do really is spread the word and tell your friends. Now, the Fallout series has not yet been released. It releases on April 11th. So this is just a brief intro to the podcast, as well as our opportunity to share our relationship with the property, with the Fallout property. And
a primer, if you like.
Yeah. And the creatives involved. So let me ask you guys, I'll start, Dwayne, with you. What's your relationship to the Fallout franchise?
I played a lot of the original game. It was one of those games that kind of came out right alongside BioShock in my in terms of my gaming situation. Uh-huh. So, you know, like I played it when I played BioShock, and I love these ideas of sort of like alternative future, kind of Cold War mentality, and how people plan on surviving that, whether it was BioShock or underwater or Fallout in the vault, etc. But what was great about it was this is the kind of sci-fi that I love. This is the sci-fi that talks about where our society is and applies ideas to where it might be going, as opposed to sort of just like spaceships and laser guns kind of stuff. So I think the social stuff was great. I think the kind of capturing the Cold War, which is something that I grew up in the mid, you know, toward the end of, and saw the quote unquote end of the Cold War, debatable now, I guess. and so it's, you know, it was meaningful that way. And the aesthetics just like captured that kind of 20th century vibe that I think that, you know, mid century, 20th century vibe that I think we're all so even now enamored with. So I like that. I think the storytelling was good. I think Fallout was one of like the first games I played where the storytelling really took off, and I was really sucked in. I needed to know what happened. I needed to know what I could do. And so that was pretty exciting. What about you guys?
Towson, what's your relationship to Fallout?
So you guys will find this fairly surprising. For those who don't follow any of our other shows, I used to be, or I'm a lover of games, and so I would attend PAX, which is a gaming convention, Penny Arcade Expo, and I'd come back and report back on games, indie titles, things that were up and coming, recommendations, and I'd also do a little bit of journalism around games. So I'm a lover of games. I have all the consoles, but I don't necessarily make the time to play them. So while I have a lot of knowledge just generally about the Fallout games, I've actually never played any of them. The only one that I've played, surprisingly, is Fallout Shelter, which is the mobile game that they have.
I remember that.
A management sim. But yeah, surprisingly, I haven't played any of them. So a lot of this is going to
Be the fresh take. You're going to be the fresh take, yeah. It's always good to have a person who's like not invested in the old stuff and can just judge the new stuff on its own merits.
Yep. So I have no clue about the storyline of any of the games. I just know about sort of the various settings that they've had. I believe the last one was set in Massachusetts, Boston.
Yeah, so that's right.
We'll see what we have here. Although
that sounds familiar to me, Massachusetts, Boston.
That's where you guys went to school, isn't it? So I think before I talk about my relationship to the Fallout franchise, I should discuss for people listening like a general synopsis of what this franchise is about. And it's essentially based on a role-playing game franchise from Bethesda Softworks. It's basically about a group of people who see impending nuclear destruction and decide to build these vaults where they can stay in shelter through the destruction for possibly generations. And the predicted destruction does happen. They are down there for many generations and finally decide to that it, the atmosphere is breathable enough to go out and explore what happened to the world and possibly colonize it again. And so as a protagonist in this role-playing game, you are coming out of the vault and exploring this post-apocalyptic wasteland, which is full of like strange creatures and hostile enemies. And that's essentially the nutshell synopsis of this franchise. My relationship with it is I'm close to where Towson is, because I played a little bit of like two games. I played a little bit of Fallout New Vegas, and I've played like a third of Fallout 4, which is the one that's set in Massachusetts. And I really, really love the setting, and I really love the premise. For me, the hurdle was that I'm not a huge fan of role-playing games. So the basic gameplay mechanic was what kind of kept me from getting as much into it as like Dwayne, for example. So yeah, that's my relationship to the Fallout franchise.
So the RPG is not your cup of tea.
Not typically, no.
What is your cup of tea?
Like first-person shooters or open sandbox games.
Okay.
GTA, GTA 5.
Or like, Red Dead Redemption, probably, for you.
Oh,
Andy.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Oh, yeah, you are a Red Dead.
Love totally. Red Dead Redemption. Love that. Also, games like, The Last of Us, which is not necessarily open sandbox in any way, because you're basically... You know, it's basically like a very long cinematic that you get to play parts of. But games like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a super adventure game, kind of.
Yeah, I kind of dabble in everything and anything. So there's not really a one thing that fits me. I've been playing a bunch of shooters, but I also did pick up Helldivers 2, which is a new popular thing out there. Uh-huh. And, you know, Spider-Man, of course, being my favorite superhero, so I love those games.
This is from just the guy who didn't have time to play, huh?
Yeah, well, once again, barely play, and RPGs, they're, you know, those type of games are huge time commitments. Sinks.
Totally, yeah. Totally.
Like, I can't tell you, one RPG that I did play was the one with the shouting, the dragon, what's it called?
Is it Skyrim?
Skyrim, yes.
Yeah.
I call that the song.
Yeah, Skyrim, that's a big one. That's a huge
one. That was a big one, but to be honest, I probably played like 10% of it.
Yeah.
Never really played much. You know, those type of games, I end up picking up everything and then trying to do a lot of extra quests, side quests.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Same.
There are only certain games that I end up actually playing all the way through.
Yeah.
It's a very limited degree, but yeah, and often gaming for me is a way of hanging out with people who I haven't hung out with in a long time.
Oh, sure.
So that's partially why I did get Helldivers to purchase it, you know, a few weeks ago, and I still haven't played it. So you can imagine.
There you go. It's funny because RPG is not my like most played game, but I do like RPGs because you can leave them and come back, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas the games that I cannot leave and come back, but you have to do it all in the same go, I really like real-time strategy games. And it is I think it's pretty much a dying art, the real-time strategy game. You don't see a ton of them around.
Sure.
You do see, like, Sid Meier has his stuff, but it's not real-time. But that, and, you know, you tie that into first-person shooters. That was what I used to play back in the day. But, KOTOR, whatever. It's kind of like a novel. Yeah. So to some extent, The Last of Us kind of feels a little bit role-play, even though it's kind of one path. But, So that's what I dig.
Let's get into talking about some of your relationship to some of the... creators and cast involved. So this show is created by Geneva Robertson-Dworet and Graham Wagner. Geneva Robertson-Dworet was a writer on for Captain Marvel and Tomb Raider movie, and Graham Wagner was a producer of Silicon Valley, Portlandia, and Baskets. I have seen the films that Geneva Robertson-Dworet has written before, and I've seen about half of the stuff that Graham Wagner has produced. So I can appreciate their involvement, and hopefully there's some really strong stuff that came out of like Captain Marvel and Silicon Valley, and hopefully that stuff comes through to what we're going to see with Fallout. But I think, for me, the thing that drew me into this was not just the property itself, but the executive producers are Lisa Joy and Jonathan Nolan, who had previously been the executive producers and creators of Westworld, which we covered extensively. So I feel like I really know their voices, you know, and we'll see how they for me, what's really interesting is when they take a very basic premise and are able to imbue that premise with all of this subtext And I'm hopefully that that's what we'll see in Fallout. But we can talk a little bit more about that later. The other involved creator is Todd Howard, who is the producer from Bethesda Softworks, the guy who produced the Fallout series, and also the previously mentioned Skyrim, and a bunch of other Elder Scrolls entries. So those are your creative team. Your cast includes Ella Purnell as Lucy, a young vault dweller and the primary protagonist. I'm reading that description right off of the Wikipedia page. And she was in Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, which I never saw. But she was in Never Let Me Go, which is like one of my favorite recent movies. And she played basically the young version of Keira Knightley's character in that film. The Squire of the Brotherhood of Steel is played by Aaron Moten. His character's name is Maximus, and he was in Emancipation and Disjointed. I remember him from Disjointed, which was a horrible, horrible series.
Yeah,
it was
Disjointed.
Yes, it was that Netflix.
Emancipation wasn't bad.
I didn't see Emancipation, but I did see half the season of Disjointed, which was a sitcom about a marijuana dispensary, and it was god awful. I wouldn't recommend it. But he was good.
Quite weeds, huh?
I remember he was good. I think for me, like, one of the strong draws in this is Walton Goggins, who we've seen in the trailer, which we'll talk about the trailer in a bit. He plays like a dual role, a guy who has been alive since the bombs fell, Cooper Howard, and now exists in the mutated form as a gunslinger and bounty hunter called the Ghoul. And I don't particularly remember a character of the Ghoul from the game, so I don't know if this is a new character or not. But
I mean, Lisa Joy and Jonathan Nolan working with a gunslinger in a wild, lawless space. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Walton Goggins is just a draw. Like whatever he's in, it's gonna be good. Like, he's been previously in Justified and The Shield. I've seen him in The Righteous Gemstones and I'm a Virgo, amongst other things. And he is like definitely a positive addition to any cast.
Yeah, no, I agree there. You know, I think one show we forgot for Ella Purnell is Yellowjackets.
Yes,
she's one of the lead actors in Yellowjackets, and she does a fabulous job in that show.
I have to admit, I'm ashamed to say that I have not yet seen Yellowjackets, which is probably why it was not on my radar when I was putting this together.
It is great, and they were nominated at least a couple Emmys ago.
Yeah. I do need to catch up with that eventually. We also have some like also stars. We got Kyle MacLachlan as Hank, Lucy's father, and
Kyle.
Yeah,
his CV is all. I mean, he's Paul D. Atreides. You know,
that's right. He was the OG Paul Atreides.
Yeah, he was the mayor in Portlandia. It was fantastic.
Yes, Blue Velvet.
I remember
Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks.
Yes,
there you go.
Yes,
the detective who loved his. Pie?
And coffee.
Yes.
Yes.
Was it blueberry?
Cherry.
I'm trying to remember what the cherry
pie. Come cherry on, pie. Dustin.
Hey, I'm an apple pie purist, so you know all other pies are inferior, other than meat pie, but that's separate.
Wow, that's a lot of information, Tosin.
So Kyle again is like one of those workhorse actors, like a strong ad, like anything you put him in is going to be he's going to give his best. Moises Arias, who I remember watching with my kid on Hannah Montana, and he was also kind of a badass in Ender's Game, so it'll be interesting to see him in this. He plays Lucy's brother Norm. We've got Michael Emerson, who one of my all-time favorite character actors, Michael Emerson, from, you would know him from Lost, also Person of Interest and Evil. He plays
on.
He plays a character named Wiltzig, an enigmatic wanderer who aids Lucy. So I'm like, once again, like, he's kind of like a heavy hitter. You bring him in and he will just like, he will dominate whatever scene he's in. So I'm looking forward.
I actually met him once.
Did you?
Yeah, I was in the,
you weren't,
I was back at home in New York, and we were just sitting next to one another. We were like trying to get a table at a place just outside, and he was right there. He's like, hey, sit down over here. And I was like, oh, okay. And sat down, and then I was like, I know you from somewhere. And, you know, we talked about stuff, and I had to be very polite about Lost.
Lost you.
Yes, it did. But yeah, guys,
it's a, Lost is a long, dark road that
we will not go down. But I will say, he was a very—I mean, he's a talented actor. He's
yeah,
a very kind man. I mean, he's like, who's like, hey, yeah, just sit down here. There's space. So you know, memorable for me, mm-hmm. probably not for him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, nice guy.
Nice.
So excited to see him on screen.
I would like to meet him.
He's also aged very well.
Yes.
Right. Lost was like 18 years ago. Right. It ended in like, you know, like 2006 or something.
Yeah.
No, it happened in like 2007. So yeah, it started like 16 years ago, whatever, 17 years ago. And, you know, he looks great.
I'm sure. Yes. Yes. He doesn't look like he's changed a bit from the trailer that I saw. And last member of the cast that I'll mention is Matt Berry, who, is the voice of Mr. Handy, a Robco Industries helper bot. And you may know him from the IT Crowd and What We Do in the Shadows.
And if you haven't seen either of those,
yes,
you know, when you're having a bad day, find them online, crack them open, and mm-hmm. just giggle yourself silly.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so let me go around the table here and ask you guys, with all of the expectations of what we've got before us with this vaunted franchise and these executive producers, what do you hope or expect to see in this show? Like, what are you looking forward to seeing?
I definitely want to see some mystery, right? Like, let's have a mystery unfold. Let's have it be, I really want, like, you know, good foundation, so that when there is a twist, it's one of those things you're like, oh, of course, as opposed to, wait a minute, how did that even happen? I really like the performances to shine past the writing, because I feel like when you're doing a video game adaptation, it's a rough thing, right? There haven't been very many good video game adaptations. There's only one, really. And that's The Last of Us.
Yes.
But I'm talking like, you know, prestige, really good.
Yes.
So I'm walking into this knowing that, you know, we're not going to expect, you know, a Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones level dialogue. But
I feel like we should at least expect like Westworld level, right?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't know, because again, Westworld,
it all depends which season of Westworld you're talking about here.
There's that, and then there's the fact that, you know, Westworld was a bit of canon that, you know, they had the game, and they kind of like really leaned into the Wild West tropes and things like that.
Sure.
And this is kind of its own space, right? It's kind of a newly created space. So they have to, obviously they're going to lean in on the game dialogue, but like, come on, it's game dialogue. So right. I just really feel like the, you know, the actors you listed off, that talent is pretty powerful. So I'm excited to see how they take it and, you know, have fun with it. It doesn't need to always be, you know, Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen level acting. But I think it'd be nice to see a lot of, you know, some fun. And I'm just hoping the performances outstrip any of the sort of like, you know, little nitpicks that you could have about just general writing here. I feel like this is going to be everything about Fallout is kind of, you know, it's grim, but it's grim with like a kind of like a tongue in cheek kind of way. You know, it's always poking fun at it.
Tosin, how about you? What do you hope or expect to see in the show?
Well, I hope or expect to see a good
amount of comedy and levity, even in this sort of dark established environment.
Uh-huh.
Especially given, because that's a big portion of Fallout, in my eyes, is a lot of these, a lot of quirky
completely
humor.
Agree. Yep.
Similar to like what you might see in like a Borderlands, where mm-hmm. there's just like there's a lot of a joking nature in the dialogue as well as in the predicament that folks are in. So I kind of expect to see that sort of thing throughout the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to this is like another fish out of water story, at least that's what it feels like from the trailer.
Yeah.
And I'm curious how they navigate that. Especially given that, you know, this doesn't appear to be a limited series, so they need to figure out what that progressive thread they're starting from season one to whatever, wherever they think they'll end.
Right.
Given that it's Lisa Joy and Jean Nolan, they always like to have some sort of twist or some sort of mystery element
yeah.
to their shows. Without knowing much about the Fallout game from actually playing through it, I'm curious how well that will work here if they do go down that route. But altogether, you know, I'm looking for something that's like not as dark as a lot of the things that we tend to watch these days when it's prestige TV,
right,
but light
right.
and enjoyable. So that's kind of my hope.
Yes, exactly. Light, enjoyable. And, you know, a little bit of that off-putting, black humor,
uh-huh.
I think.
I kind of feel a little bit like Tosin, where I'm... You hit upon a couple of things that I feel like are really what my expectations are. And first of it, off, is that I think I've seen a lot of failed... video game adaptations. The list is so long. The road to hell is paved with like failed video game adaptations. And as you mentioned, Dwayne, like really, I can count on one finger the number of ones that have really been that successful where I feel like, oh, they got it, which is The Last of Us, which we are also covering on Quarantine Zone
podcast. So if you're talking about series, that's the case. I think on the movie side, there have been some that have been what you would call successful. Like, they may not be, like, perfect, and they may leave a lot to be desired. Like, you know, there was just recently the Mario movie that
I think
left a bit to be desired, but still it was decent. It's much better than what we've seen in the past, right? Like,
I mean, it was no Mortal Kombat. But yeah,
but what I'm looking for is something that's prestige, like something along the lines of The Last of Us. Now, I understand with this particular property. Now, the hard thing is The Last of Us had a really fleshed out narrative from start to finish. And because of the nature of what this game is, which is a role playing game, I feel like the narrative really has not been that well fleshed out.
It hasn't been established. There's a certain choose your own adventure that they can take. But I will say, if there's one thing that Nolan and Joy seem to excel at, seem to really enjoy, it's games, right? Their stuff is it plays with game dynamics. It's very big into gaming in terms of Westworld, feeling like it was a video game, all that stuff. So I feel like even if they go a little wide of what we've seen actually in the Fallout games, they're gonna be a little consistent, very consistent when it comes to the dynamics, the sort of rules and how those things work. So that I have confidence in them for.
Yes. Also, like what I feel like they've done really well that I'm hoping that they will do with this series is have a explore some really deep thematic elements. You know, I feel like Westworld really got into some very deep existential themes, and I feel like for Fallout to really scratch that same itch for me, it has to be more than just the the setting more than just the situation. It's got to really explore some deep themes. And maybe those themes are like, you know, is it worth coming up out into the open again if the world is turned to crap?
Was it worth going down there in the first place if the world is still chugging along?
Right, exactly. Right. Theme, at least give me at least a little bit of that. But also, to Tosin's point and to your point, I want it to be fun. I want them to have fun. I want to see them having fun. You know, and it looks like from what we've seen in the trailers and the clips involved that they are going to keep it somewhat light, not like as maybe inconsequential as something like Twisted Metal, the Peacock adaptation.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I think it's got to be fun. It's got to be light, but yeah, it's definitely got to hit on wider themes than just sort of like violence. You know,
right.
Video game, right. Shoot things, power up, violence. Right, like we don't want a Doom movie.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Or even like a
Duke Nukem movie.
Exactly. Exactly. It needs to be more. They need to be doing more with it. So that's my hope. Do you guys want to talk about the trailers that have been released, what we've seen so far?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it feels a lot like, hey, let's introduce you to these characters and let's show you the setting. And that's kind of nice.
Yeah, I like what I've seen so far. The clips that I've seen with like Michael Emerson look really like intense. I like the idea of setting establishing these factions. You've got your three central factions: your underground dwellers, your vault dwellers, your vaulties. I guess they're calling themselves your topsiders, and then your Brotherhood of Brotherhood of Steel, which I guess are like these warrior knights. It's my memory of the Dark Brotherhood Paladins, of Steel, yeah. is a little fuzzy from what I've played. But yeah, they're like paladins. Yes. Warriors for justice, right? In a yes. Lawless time. So but yeah, I like the trailer. I like seeing Walton Goggins in his apocalyptic mode, and then seeing him as this ghoul. And I'm curious as to what, you know, so that his characters like him aren't just these two-dimensional archetypes. I'd like to see some depth as to what made him like that. What
made him live for all this time? They've been down in the vault for 200 years, right. And he was in the sales video, and he's still around. You know, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah,
I thought it was interesting, giving us a flavor of the world and of the people and factions within it. I think the second trailer that they showed, clip that they showed,
yeah,
as Dwayne discussed earlier, really kind of cemented the potentially opposing forces, because in some of the trailers you kind of notice this collaboration between the Brotherhood and I guess Vault Dweller, and so it adds a lot of level of intrigue but doesn't really give very much explanation.
No.
Other than the real basic premise. So I think that's good. Don't give us too much. Let's discover on this journey together.
I like in the trailer, you get to see a glimpse of the companion dog, Dogmeat, from the game. So it's nice that they're keeping the aesthetics of the Vault Dweller uniforms. And a lot of the things feel like ripped right out of the game, which is nice, which is what you want from an adaptation. I feel like that's, as Dwayne would say, table stakes.
Totally. Just gives you foundation. You know where you are.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anything else before we wrap up this first primer, this first introductory episode?
No. I mean, just so everybody knows, when we get into the actual show, you know, a little formula that we like to apply in order to make sure that we hit all the beats. And it's going to involve going through... you know, what happened in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
pulling out the most salient things that we saw, and then looking at sort of the big picture, the overall plot, right? The overall plot, like, where is it going? What are we seeing? What are the themes that they're touching on? And then diving into sort of like, here are the connections to the game, here's how it's differing, that kind of thing. And so I think a lot of people will get a lot out of that, considering that there's been so much Fallout content. And I'm going to have to dive in and make sure that we all know where we are when it comes to the show versus that. Whereas Tosin gets to stay all show focused.
Yeah, you know, I'll probably fire up Fallout 4 again and play a little bit of that between now and April 11th when the show launches, just to reacquaint myself with the game mechanics and the setting. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So again, the show launches on April 11th. And we will, all episodes will be released on April 11th. We're going to roll out a podcast episode for every episode. So that will be, you won't see us discussing the entire series in one podcast episode. We're going to be doing it episode by episode. The idea is that you can follow along with the episode, each episode. Listen to watch an episode of the series and then listen to an episode of the podcast. But we're going to do it over the course of a few weeks. So probably a week, an episode a week. All right. I think that is it for us here on Vault 33. Make sure you stay subscribed to us and follow our Twitter once again at Fallout Vault 33. And we will see you guys after April 11th when the first episode drops. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
I just want to start a flame in your heart.